if you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to John 15, verse 5, we'll be reading that in just a moment. We're continuing our series, Thrive, because God wants you to thrive in every area of your life. And today, we're going to be talking about bearing the fruit of service. That's one area that God wants us to thrive in. We've been talking about the fact that no tree can survive or grow without the nourishment and the anchoring provided by its roots. And we spoke about the importance of the sustenance and support provided by being deeply rooted in our relationship with Christ. And last week, we looked at the importance of being deeply rooted in relationship in the family of God within the church. If you missed those messages, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to them. You can go to our YouTube channel or our website or our Facebook page, and you can listen to any of our previous messages, and I encourage you to do so. But the interesting thing about trees is that even though the roots are growing down below the ground and they are not readily visible to us, they are the reason that the tree grows. They're the reason the leaves are green, and they're the reason that the tree produces fruit. For a tree to bear fruit, it needs to have deep and solid roots. If the roots begin to deteriorate, then the rest of the tree will also deteriorate and eventually die. In John 15:5, Jesus uses a similar image, a related image of the vital connection between the vine and the branches. And the vine really has to do with the stump that is rooted in the ground and the branches that grow out from it. And he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce what? Much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. We have been talking about the truth that God wants us to thrive in every area of our life. And of course, the word thrive means to flourish. It means to prosper. It means to increase. It means to grow. To thrive is to grow, becoming spiritually stronger in our inner man and becoming more like Christ. Living a flourishing life comes from being deeply rooted in our relationship with Christ. And that then affects every area of our life. And living a flourishing life comes from being vitally connected not only to Christ, but to his people, to his church. And the outward expression of a life that is flourishing is that we will bear much fruit. He expects us to bear fruit. In fact, if you were to read that passage, he says that any branch that does not bear fruit, what does he do? He cuts it off. And it goes into the fire to be burnt because it's useless. Amen? So he expects us to bear fruit. The mission of every Christian is to bear much fruit for the glory of God. And when we are deeply rooted in our relationship with Christ and in relationships within the church family, we will thrive. And one of the main types of fruit that will be produced is a life of service or ministry for Christ. To thrive is to dedicate ourselves to the purposes of God by devoting our time, our energy, our gifts, and our talents, and our resources to serve in any way possible at all times. What would happen if every believer, if every person in this church got involved, devoting their time, talents, and passions to fulfilling God's purpose? What would happen in this community if every one of us bore much fruit for the glory of God? God has not called us to be consumers of ministry. He has called us to be contributors to ministry, participants. He has not called us to be spectators of ministry, but participants in ministry. Amen? Next week, I think, is Super Bowl, right? And there'll be a few dozen men that are playing on the field, and there'll be millions of people watching them. A bunch of spectators and a few participators. Well, God expects us to be on the field of service, the field of ministry, doing the work of the ministry, not spectators. Amen? God has called us to use our time, our talents, our resources to pray for, encourage, strength, serve, and minister to one another. And thriving is discovering and fulfilling your purpose. You have a purpose. Every follower of Christ has a God-given purpose, and it is in fulfilling that purpose in working for his kingdom that we find joy, fulfillment, and meaning. Now, I want you to understand, God saved you simply because he loves you. Time again in the Bible, it tells us the reason that God sent his son Jesus into the world to die for our sins is simply because he loves us. John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell. Everybody can probably quote it here today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. A truth that is echoed again in 1 John 4:9-10. It says, God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. These are just a couple of many verses that tell us that the reason God sent his son to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven and that we could have a relationship with him is solely because he loves us. Amen. Not because we're lovable. No, we were sinners. We were his enemies when Christ died for us. We were altogether unlovable. But God loves us because God is love. And his heart overflowed with love for us, and he could not leave us in our sinful state, separated from him for all eternity. So his love moved him to do something that we might be forgiven, that we might be saved, that we might be his children. He sent his own son to die to take away the penalty of our sins. Now, God loves you beyond your wildest imagination. His love for you is greater than any human love. How do I know that? Let me ask you, who in your life would be willing to die for you? Who in your life would be willing to die for you? Because of his great love for us, we are forgiven. The guilt and shame of our sins, of our past, of our failure has been removed. We have been made his children. We have been made righteous. We have been given a different and a better future, both here on earth and for all eternity, all because God loves us. And Jesus died for us. So God saved you simply because he loves you. However, God saved you to bring him glory. God saved you with a purpose. In Romans 9, verses 22 and 23, Paul says, in the same way, even though God has the right to show his anger and his power, he's very patient with those on whom his anger falls, who are destined for destruction. He does this to make the riches of his glory shine even brighter on those to whom he shows mercy, who were prepared in advance for his glory. What does he want to do? He wants his glory to shine through those who experience his mercy, because we were prepared in advance for what? For his glory. We are prepared in advance to bring God glory. That is his will and purpose for our lives. We were all sinners deserving of his judgment, and God has the right and would be justified to condemn us for all eternity. But because of his great mercy, he was patient towards us and is patient towards all mankind, and those who respond to his mercy in faith and repentance, he saves. And he saves them for a purpose. He saved you for a purpose. I love the way one writer expressed it. He says, God's glory is not just the most important thing. It's also the greatest good in the universe. He said, this might offend us in our self-centered culture. But offensive or not, it's true. Astronomers say it's a good thing for us that the sun, not the earth, is the center of the solar system. If Earth were at the center, it would never have the gravitational ability to hold the rest of the solar system in orbit, and we would all die. Because the sun is 30 times bigger than the Earth, and because it is an independent source of heat and light, it can sustain an orderly solar system and enables us to have life. So if the Son were a person, he says, the most loving thing the Son could do would be to keep itself at the center of the universe. And so it is with God and us. If God is the pinnacle of joy, then having him at the center, recognized for his worth and importance, is the most loving thing that he can do for us. So what does that mean? It means that we are not the point, God is. We are not the point, God is. Paul says God saved us so that we could be trophies of his grace to bring him glory. In Ephesians 2:7, God saves us to show the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us and all he has done for us who are united to Christ Jesus. And the Greek word there, show, means to expose to the eyes, to give evidence or proof of something. Some Bible commentators says, this verse says that we have been made the trophies of God's grace. What do you do when you get a trophy? You put it on display. You want everybody to see it. Amen. Whoever wins the Super Bowl next week, they're going to get that huge trophy, and they're going to be lifting it up above their heads and making sure that it's all broadcast all across TV and everybody sees who the champions are. Amen. And what the scripture is telling us is that every life that has been saved by his incredible grace is a trophy that God wants to put on display for the whole world to see, not how wonderful we are, but how wonderful, how great, how loving, how merciful, how gracious he is, so that he might be glorified. So that he might be glorified. Hallelujah. So because we've been saved, we need to realize life is not about us. Life is not about us. It is about God and living to bring him glory. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Everything we do, even in the smallest details of our life, like eating and drinking, it needs to be about bringing glory to God. The minute we got saved, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. My life no longer belongs to me. It belongs to him for his glory. We need to live for his glory. God saved you for his glory, and God saved you to make you more like Jesus. Amen? The Bible repeatedly tells us that the goal of the Christian life is that we would be conformed to the image of Christ, so that we would be made more like Jesus. And do you know what the chief characteristic of Jesus's life was? Anybody venture a guess? It was servanthood. It was servanthood. Jesus's entire life was devoted to serving God's purpose and serving and ministering to the needs of people. He even left an example for his disciples and for us. When the night of the Last Supper, they entered into a room, and there was no one there as a servant to wash their feet. And none of the disciples were volunteering. So what did Jesus do? He took a towel and a basin, and he knelt down, and he washed their feet, taking the position of the lowliest servant in a household. And he said, as the Son of Man has served you, now also you ought to serve one another. I've done this as an example for you. I've done this as an example for you. And he plainly said, for the Son of Man came not to be served. And I want us to understand something. The Greek word serve is also translated minister or ministry. Okay, listen to what he says. The Son of Man came not to serve, but to serve, not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. The chief characteristic of his life is that he came to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus's whole life was about service, serving God's purpose and God's will, and ministering to the needs of others. And it culminated in the greatest act of service, sacrificing himself on the cross, dying that we might be saved. And Jesus said, in the kingdom of God, the greatest among you must be the servant of all. Martin Luther King Jr. said, everyone can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve, he said. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. Anybody can be great because anybody can serve. Now, God saved us to be more like Jesus. Do you say amen to that?
Amen.
And we are most like Jesus when we spend our lives in service to God's purpose and to the needs of people. We are most like Jesus when we spend our life in ministry, giving ourselves away, using our gifts, talents, time, and resources to minister for His glory and to minister to the needs of others. That's when we're most like Jesus. Amen? Now, a minute ago, I said God saved us to be like Jesus. Everybody cheered, and then I said to be like Jesus means to devote yourself to ministry, and it got awful quiet in here. But you know what? That's what the Bible teaches us. It's what the Bible teaches us. And true servanthood is a work of God in us. Because you see, servanthood does not come naturally to us. We all have a tendency to be self-centered. It is the core of our sin nature. The middle letter in the word sin is I, and I is at the center of sin. But when you receive Jesus as Savior, the scripture says that God gives us a new heart. Yes. We are made a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Only God can give us a new heart. Only God can give us a heart to serve. We love, we serve, we care for others because that is normal behavior for people who are filled with God's Spirit. People who are rooted in Christ and rooted in relationship with one another. It is natural for us to want to serve one another. When we get saved, Jesus comes to live inside of us, and Paul says it is no longer us that lives, but Christ that lives in us. And Christ was the ultimate servant. So if He lives in us, we can't help but serve. Amen. The Greek word for servant is diakonos, and it speaks of someone who ministers, focuses on meeting the needs of others in a spirit of humility. The literal meaning of the word is an under-rower. Do you remember those ancient ships, you know, before we had motorized engines on ships? You know how they were powered? Oars. And you know who had to row? People. They had a bunch of people down in the belly of those ships, hundreds of them, with oars. And they had someone calling the cadence that would say, row, row. I don't know exactly what they would say, but it was something akin to that. And every time the person calling the cadence shouted the command, they would row together. They would row together. Those people are called under rowers in the lowest levels of ancient ships who rowed to keep the ship moving as a master called commands for them to row. Their purpose is not the single oar that they are moving. Their purpose is the greater picture of getting the boat to its destination. We are part of a greater purpose. It's not just about us, but it is about doing our part to get the boat of His church to its destination, the fulfillment of His kingdom purpose and will. When we serve in the church, we are under rowers who at Christ's command are rowing. We're doing our part to move the ship forward to its destination, the fulfillment of God's purpose and God's mission. Now, let me ask you a question. Think about it. If you dropped your oar, if you dropped out of church today, would anything that the church is doing slow down or stop because of your absence? If your answer is no, then it might be because you're not doing anything. If your answer is yes, that means that you are a vital part of rowing this church forward. You're doing your part. You're serving. You're working to fulfill the mission and purpose of God. So let me ask you the question again. Don't answer out loud. If you dropped out of church today, would anything that the church is doing slow down or stop because of your absence? There's some yeses, there's a lot of silence. Yeah. Jesus is telling us that every person is needed as an under rower. Jesus is calling you to pick up your oar and start rowing. Get involved in ministry. Even if you're in a valley of trial, you'll find that when you start ministering to others, something happens to you.
That's right.
It lifts your spirit. It strengthens you. Amen.
Right.
As you're serving others, the sooner you start helping someone else, the sooner your problem will be helped.
Amen.
Don't wait till you're perfect or that you have no burdens. Because let me tell you something, life on this earth will never be perfect, and there'll never be a time that you don't have any problems. So if we're waiting for a perfect life to serve Jesus, the trumpet's going to sound and Jesus is going to come back. And we're not going to be too happy. Amen? The time to serve is now. Start ministering today with your flaws and your problems. If we all row together at the Master's command, we will get where God is taking us. We will fulfill His vision and His purpose. And everyone among us will be ministered to, even as we minister to one another. Amen? Because the church is not the pastor doing all the ministry. The church is the pastor equipping the saints to minister to one another. And as we each play our vital role, the whole body is built up and strengthened in love. That's what the scripture says in Ephesians 4. Amen? Each one of us has a vital part to play. We each have an oar to row. Amen? We need to pick up that oar and start rowing. And if you're not yet involved in ministry, we have lots of opportunities for you. Just go to our website, nl-nfl.org. Click the volunteer button on our main page there and fill out that form. Tell us what you're interested in. We'll have a leader get back in touch with you and try to get you plugged in as soon as possible. But thriving is serving like Jesus. The disciples were continually seeking a throne. Remember that? They're arguing. He's talking about going to the cross, and they're arguing, Master, when you come into your kingdom, let us sit on your right hand and on your left. They were seeking a throne. They were seeking a throne. But meanwhile, Jesus picked up a towel to wash their feet because he was continually seeking to serve. I want you to know God is calling you to serve, and he has shaped you for ministry. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, it is God himself who has made us what we are. And he has given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ago, he planned that we should spend those lives in helping or serving others. Some versions say, long ago, he prepared for us good works to do. He prepared for us good works to do. From ages past, God had already planned what oar he wants you to pick up. He'd already planned what he wants you to do in service for his kingdom. He has a unique plan for each of us to serve him in our church and in the world. And God has been working in every aspect of our life to shape us for the purpose that he has for us. God has shaped us through our spiritual experience. He has spiritually shaped us by saving us and giving us a new life in him. And as we seek him and as we daily read his word and pray, he's shaping us to become more like Jesus so that we'll have the character of Christ for ministry. He's shaping us to have the heart of Jesus, a heart of love, a heart of mercy, a heart of compassion, a heart of service, and a heart to do the will of the Father. God has also shaped us through the abilities, gifts, and talents that he has placed in us. God has had charted the plan of your life in ages past before you were even born, and he uniquely formed or shaped you in your mother's womb, as it says in Psalm 139, to fulfill the plan that he has for you. He placed certain gifts and talents in you that are specific to the work that he has for you. Now, if I was choosing, I would love to be a worship leader. I love to worship the Lord. I love music. Amen? I've even taken music classes. I used to play clarinet in marching band. I took keyboard classes. Pastor, I know how to play by reading music, not easily, but I know how to play by reading music. Pastor Anna, when she first came to the church, she tried to teach me how to play by ear, because that's how we play up here in the worship team. They play by ear. And she would tell me, just feel the music. And I would say, but I have to count it. 1, 2, 3, 4. And she'd say, no, just feel it. But I can't play that way. And you know what? God didn't give me that talent. He gave her that talent. And I can't sing to carry a tune in a bucket, but I love to make a joyful noise.
Amen.
God didn't give me that talent. talent. You know why? Because God's calling in my life was not to be a worship leader. And if he had given me that talent, I might have chosen to be a worship leader when he wanted me to be a preacher. Amen? And each one of us, God has given us certain talents and abilities to point us in the direction of the ministry he wants to use us in. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 4:10. He says, God has given each, turn to your neighbor and says, each means you. Okay? Each means you. Not one of us is left out. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to do what? Help or serve each other, to minister to each other. Your gifts and talents point you to the ministry that God has for you. You may sing or play an instrument, and if you do so well, then God has given you a talent to minister to others, to lead them in worship. Amen? Maybe you have the gift of compassion or the gift of helps or service. And what he wants is for you to serve others through being a part of the care ministry of the church, to encourage the members of the church that may be sick or may be downcast or may need prayer in some way. That's what our deacon ministry, our care ministry does. They visit people in the hospital. They call people, encourage people, pray with people. Your gifts point you in the direction of the ministry that God has for you. Maybe you have the ability to teach others, and you've ended up maybe being a teacher in your profession, but God gave you that gift to use it for his kingdom as well. Maybe to lead a small group and help disciple others, or be a part of the children's ministry and help teach others, or be a part of our girls' ministry or Royal Rangers and help teach children. If you're able to teach, then the Bible says to use that gift to teach others. Your gifts point you in the direction of the ministry that God has for you. God has shaped you not only through the gifts, talents, and abilities he's given you, he has shaped you through the passions that he has placed in you. What are your passions? What excites you? What causes you to cry? Is it youth? Is it the elderly? Is it children? Do you enjoy serving in practical ways? Do you enjoy praying for people or teaching or leading? What are your passions? Your passions are God-given indicators of his calling for you. God has also shaped you through your life experiences. God wants to use all the experiences of your life, good and bad, not only to grow you, but to shape you for the unique purpose that he has for your life. I'll never forget the testimony of the founders of Marriage Ministry International. They went through a terrible time in their marriage. They were either at the point of divorce or had divorce until they received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then they tried to come back together, and they still had some problems. And so they began seeking God and seeking his word to help them resolve the issues in their marriage, and putting the word of God into practice in their life healed their marriage. And then they said, hey, you know, we want to take what God taught us and we want to help other couples that are struggling. So they started locally ministering to other couples. And before you know it, they have Marriage Ministries International, which goes around the world now to minister to couples that are hurting. And it all started because of an experience that they went through. God uses your experiences to shape you. Whether those experiences are positive or painful, he uses them to shape you for the unique calling and purpose that he has for your life. So put all of those things together. Your spiritual experience, your gifts, talents, and abilities, your passions, and your life experiences, and they should all serve as arrows that point you in the direction of what God wants for you to do. You say, well, I don't know. It's not that clear for me. Okay, then let me give you another principle to get you started. The Bible says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So see a need, get involved, and as you start serving in ministry, God will begin to clarify, no, this is not for you. Yes, you're very good at this. Keep on doing it. God will begin to clarify. But if we just sit on a pew, it's not going to become any clearer for us. And everybody either said amen or oh me. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to serve like Jesus. As I said, when Jesus and his disciples entered the room for the Last Supper, there was no servant to wash their feet. And none of the disciples were volunteering to do the job. They were volunteering to sit on Jesus' right hand and left, when he came into his kingdom. They wanted positions of leadership. But nobody was volunteering to wash each other's feet. But guess what? Jesus saw the need, and he stepped up to serve his disciples by washing their feet. And he said, I've done this as an example for you, so that you ought also do the same. Folks, if we are thriving, if we are becoming more like Jesus, which means that means that we will have the heart like Jesus to serve, and that means that we will step up, see the need, and find ways to fill it. We'll pay attention to where there's a need in our church, to where there's a need in the people around us in the church body. And we will step up and find a way to serve. We had such a beautiful family here, the Ayalas, several years ago. He was with the Coast Guard, and they're transferred every 4 years. Every time they take a promotion, the family has to move. And so they had just been transferred to the South Florida area, and they looked for church because they're wonderful, devoted Christians. And they started attending, and they'd just been here a few weeks. And we were having a big activity outside in the garden area, and I walked out after the service to stand at the door and greet people, as was my custom. And to my surprise, this couple that had just been attending for a few weeks, they were out there in the mix. They were helping, they were serving, they were putting up tables, they were giving out sodas and what have you. And it was such a refreshing surprise. And so I talked to them and I said, wow, it's so great to see that you've gotten yourself involved, and I'm so glad that you stepped in. And they said, well, we were coming into church this morning, we saw them setting up, we saw a need, and we asked, can we help? Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
And let me tell you something. That was the way they were for the 4 years that they were in this church. You could ask them to do anything, and sometimes you didn't even have to ask. They would just step in and help wherever they could. That is a servant's heart. See the need. It is an opportunity to serve, to help others, to help our church, and we just step up and say, here I am, use me. And you'll be amazed at the opportunities to serve that you that are around you every day if you'll just be sensitive to look and see. You might say, well, I can't sing, and I can't preach, and I can't teach. Can you smile?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We're in need of ushers and greeters. Some of our ushers and greeters are not comfortable yet coming out of their homes because of the pandemic. But if you're here and you can smile and you can say welcome, guess what?
You can be a greeter.
You can be a greeter. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So just jump online, nl-fl.org, click that volunteer button, fill in the form, and say, here I am, use me. Hallelujah. There's lots of opportunities. So you love kids. You may be a grandma and you love kids and your kids are often grown now. Well, we got a bunch of kids in the back. And they're just waiting for you to love on them and just tell them about Jesus. Amen? So you can be a part of our children's ministry. And you don't have to have a PhD in Bible to teach kids. Amen? Lots of opportunities everywhere you look. The famed evangelist John Wesley said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. And that's what it means to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God has called us to serve. If we are rooted and growing in our relationship with Christ, if we're rooted and growing in His church, we will bear the fruit of ministry. And he said, if the branches are connected to the vine, we will bear what? Much fruit. And if the branch is not bearing fruit, he'll do what? What kind of branch you want to be? Amen? What kind of branch you want to be? Just step up and say, Lord, I don't want to get cut off. I want to be a fruit-bearing branch. Amen? So just step up. Start doing something. Start serving. There's plenty of opportunities. Say, Lord, here I am. Use me. And just get involved. But the first step to living a life that is spiritually thriving and bears fruit is that we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior. That we have received His love, His forgiveness, and our life has been transformed because He's coming to live inside of us. And that's the first step. We're all sinners. We've all been separated from God by our sin. We were all the objects of His judgment. We deserved His judgment, but He loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die for us, so that when we repent of our sins, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, when we turn away from our sins and turn to Him in faith, He forgives us, He saves us, He makes us a child of God, and we begin the wonderful lifelong journey of learning to love Him and serve Him. And so if you have not yet given your heart to Christ, or maybe you did so several years ago, and you can just feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart saying, you know, you need to come back to Jesus, then I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. And as you pray it and mean it in your heart, God is going to do exactly what you ask Him to do. Would you bow your heads with me? And would you pray this prayer to receive Jesus? Dear Jesus, I believe that You love me so much that You died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sinful life. I confess that I'm a sinner. I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. And I turn to You in faith, and I invite You to come live inside of me. Help me from this day forward to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Congratulations if you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time. We want to just congratulate you and welcome you to the family of God. That is the absolute best decision that you will ever make in your life. If you just prayed that prayer and you're here in person, would you text I prayed to the number on the screen, or online type I prayed in the comments. Why? Because we want to send you free of charge an e-booklet that will help you understand the prayer you just prayed and how to continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord, the next steps that you need to take, because that prayer was a beginning, not an end. So we want to help you in your walk with the Lord so that you can grow and you can thrive spiritually. So would you do that right now? If you were in-house and you prayed that prayer, just text I prayed to the number on the screen, online type I prayed in the comments. And a little later today, you're going to get a response message with a link. Please click on that link and fill in your name and email address so that we can send you this little e-booklet free of charge to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. And then I want to encourage everybody, especially those who just accepted Christ, but every Christian needs to do three things. One, talk to God every day. That's what we call prayer. Start by thanking Him for the good things in your life, because every good thing comes from Him. And then talk to Him about all the problems, difficulties, struggles, or decisions that you're making, and ask His help. That's prayer. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. How does God talk to us? The number one way is through the Bible. That's His word, His message to us. If you don't have a Bible, you can download the YouVersion app free of charge on your phone or tablet and read as much as you want. There's never a charge. I encourage you to start reading in 1 John. Just pray before you read that God will help you understand what you're reading and how it applies to you. And what you don't understand, put it to the side for the moment. When you need to understand it, God will help you understand it. But what you do understand, take it and ask God to help you to apply it to your life. And then third, get connected to a local Assembly of God church. If you're in South Florida, of course, we encourage you to be a part of this church family. We have a wonderful church family. If you're out of this area, then just search for an Assembly of God close to you and get deeply rooted. Get connected in that church. It'll help you to thrive in your relationship with the Lord. Once again, congratulations. For all of us who have already placed our faith in Christ, are you thriving spiritually? Are you deeply rooted in your relationship with Christ? Are you deeply rooted in congregational worship and prayer and the study of His word? And are you deeply rooted in relationships in the family of God? Those deep roots are essential to thrive spiritually. And if you aren't deeply rooted in those areas, make a commitment to start today. But if you are rooted in those areas and you are thriving spiritually, are you bearing fruit? That's the sign that you're thriving spiritually. You're bearing fruit. Are you using your gifts, your talents, your time, your energy to serve others, to minister to others, to disciple others, to meet the needs of others, to be involved in ministry, to take up your oar door and say, I'm going to do my part to move this church forward to the fulfillment of God's purpose and God's vision. You see, that fruit is the evidence of a life that's spiritually thriving. And if you're not yet bearing the fruit of service or the fruit of ministry, start now. Commit to get involved, to use your gifts, talents, time and energy to serve the Lord. And if it's your heart to say, God, I want you to use me. I want to bear much fruit for your glory and honor. Would you stand to your feet right where you are? Say, Lord, I want to bear much fruit for your glory and honor. You talk to God from your heart as I pray over us. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for all those that are standing. Father, I see almost 100% of everybody here standing. And Lord, I'm so excited because when all of them get involved in ministry, Lord, we're going to see your purpose just catapult forward, Lord God. Thank you for their response today. May it not just be an emotional response of the moment, but let us step in obedience, Father, upon this commitment that we make to you today. Father, we pray that you would help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, and to get us plugged in the place where you want us to serve, Lord God, and that you would anoint that service and that you would use it for your glory and honor. Bless your people, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us sing together.
Give myself away.
Ourselves away, not just at this moment, Lord God, but let this become a lifestyle for us to give ourselves away to you, that you can use us, Lord God, to minister to others and bring glory to your name. Father, bless your people today. Refresh and restore their strength and their energy, Lord, and renew them spiritually in you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We love you and have a blessed rest of the day.